Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain. My opportunity, as you know, to leave the worlds of law and politics that I cover every day on WGN-TV and go to the fun world of entertainment and theater arts. And today, something really unique here on the Behind the Curtain podcast. We're going to be talking about a new feature in Chicago I got a chance to recently experience, blew me away. And I said, I got to talk to the guy who's running this thing here to learn all about how it happened, how it's here, the history, how you can go, and all that sort of stuff. So joining me is Derek Poitras, who's the general manager of Flyover Chicago. Joining us now from, it's not a very colorful room, Derek, but I know you're at work.
I just moved into this office not too long ago, so I'm working on the paint and some photos for sure.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for having me. A couple of little Chicago things go behind you at some point, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, it needs color. You're absolutely right.
So Flyover Chicago just blew me away. And I mean, just by way of history, I think this is in the space at Navy Pier. And this is in the space, am I right, that was the IMAX cinema, which was at Navy Pier for years. This is in that space, I believe.
In the same exact space. The difference, though, is that when IMAX moved out, we completely gutted the space and transformed it. It's completely unrecognizable. So we do occupy the space, but none of the old IMAX infrastructure is there.
So for people who, let's tell them what it is, Flyover Chicago is, I mean, even before I read about it, I had an envision, but I've had people say to me, oh, do you put glasses on, you know, kind of getting a handle on what. So explain to people, because you don't put glasses on. This is an experience that literally immerses you. Talk about that.
That's right. So it's no VR, it's no 3D, it's nothing like that. It's very real. It's a 30-minute immersive experience that's broken into three separate acts, with that final act, Act 3, ending with this incredible flying journey ride where you spend almost 10 minutes flying throughout the city, the streets, and the buildings of Chicago in a way that you've never experienced before.
I have to ask you how they did it. I mean, obviously this was done, you know, people in airplanes and whatever, putting it together. How long did it take to put this together? And I'm assuming, given some of the scenes, and by the way, I'll introduce now the people who are watching us. There are people who listen to this podcast. They're going to miss out, but all they got to do is come here to WGNradio.com or go to YouTube and go to the vidcast, the video version of the podcast. They're going to be able to see some video that you all share with people to give them a sense of what this is like. So people who are watching us are going to see that. But let me just ask you, how did this thing get done? It had to be a lot of drones and such because the experience is so intricate. I can't imagine a human being able to capture it.
Yeah, a lot of drone work in this. This is our fourth flyover location. We also have Vancouver, Iceland, and Vegas. And each of the films that we filmed there were done 100% with helicopters. So this was our first urban environment where we had to use a drone to film the way that we wanted to. So we spent over 250 hours up in the sky, we call it flying time, filming this actual attraction. And the way that we're able to maneuver the drone throughout the buildings and even into some buildings, it gives us a whole new perspective of filming that we've never been able to do before in any of our other flyover films.
Well, you know, I knew you were in these other four locations. In fact, I was going to ask you about it because it's sort of unique. I mean, there's Vegas and then, you know, the rest of them, you're kind of, all right, sorry, Julian, I'm going to have it. Here we go with a video thing. So I'm going to switch my cameras.
It's okay. So just do a retake.
And I'll just start over. Not the whole thing, just Albert. Yeah, Derek, I noticed that I saw the list of where there are flyovers and we are the fourth city, which is a great honor anyway, just in that component to it. But I'm looking, I'm going, oh, wait, there's no New York. There's no. And then, of course, when I looked at the list, I'm like, well, wow. I mean, Vegas is the only other place within the United States. So therefore, what sent you to Chicago? And now I guess part of your last answer explained a bit of it, which is this isn't an easy place to film with all the buildings. That made it tough.
That's right. So what are one of our big points of interest whenever we're looking for a new location to film in is iconic destinations with interesting stories. And Chicago is certainly one of them. It has incredible history with the architecture and with Lake Michigan, but also with the people and the different neighborhoods and the cultures. When you put all of that together, it really builds a beautiful story that I think gives the other locations a run for their money for sure. And being in that urban setting, it presented Flyover with a unique unique opportunity to do something that they had never done before. Our other films are very nature-centric. This is all about the city and its people. So a completely new opportunity, brand new storyline, and Chicago was the perfect city to do that in.
So a couple of details. So are you a Chicagoan, or did you move here for this job?
I'm not a native Chicagoan. I did move here, but I will say it was the easiest decision I've ever made to come to Chicago. I've always loved this city.
Well, wait a minute. Let's judge that answer. Where did you move from?
So I moved here from Jersey. I'm not from the Jersey area. I only lived there for a couple of years.
As soon as you said Jersey, the answer is yes. You just did the right. We love Jersey.
That's
you just
right.
did the right thing. So I love that. So, and then the other thing is, do you know, and you, I think you know everything, but who went to who? Did Flyover come to Chicago and say, we want to do this? Or did, well, that had to be that way, right? I won't give Chicago enough credit for saying, let's go find somebody to do a Flyover thing.
Flyover did come to Chicago, and this process started well over 3 years ago. And just the production and the construction of this effort here at Navy Pier took well over 2 years to do. So it was a partnership with the city, ultimately working with them to coordinating the different filming and closing streets and whatnot. But Flyover did go to Chicago and presented this story and this attraction.
So some of this is credit. Do we say Mayor Lightfoot, her administration? Do we say, no, it's really about the folks who run Navy Pier?
I'm not entirely sure of the logistics with the mayor's office, but I will say that the pier has been an incredible partner, not only with being built here, but introducing us to different avenues of the city, whether that is political within the government system or just different partners like setting up with extras, local vendors and contractors. They've been an incredible partner with all of this.
By the way, if they did Jersey next and said, Derek, we want you to come back and run Jersey, what would your answer be?
My answer would be, what a interesting location. We can make it happen. We can certainly make it happen.
But you'll stay here.
That I will say, I do not have any plans to leave Chicago. I really do love this city.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because it is such a great city. That was a trick question. Let's go back to the experience, because the other thing is when you get in, but by the way, I thought it was either inspired by technology similar to, like, you know, the later Disney rides, if you go to Disney World and such. This is the kind of thing they do now. In other words, the days of let's be Peter Pan and we're literally going to fly you over this whatever area. Now, today, you sit in a chair, and it's, which I don't think we're giving anything away. You sit in a chair, you're strapped in. There is movement going on, but it looks like the days of you need to go somewhere like Pirates of the Caribbean, those we're not going to do that anymore. We can make even more happen and keep you seated and leave you almost in place.
Yeah, and that's true, Paul. I think when it comes to rides like this, any type of amusement park ride or theme park ride, the story carries everything, and then the type of movement that you take within the attraction is dependent on that story. So what's unique about this is that this is the best way to tell the story of Chicago with this flying theater type attraction, because it's all about being immersed in the city, flying through the buildings and whatnot. There are other attractions in the world, like you said, if you go to a Disney park where you can take a boat somewhere or you could be hanging from something. And those are great vehicles to tell that story. This is the perfect vehicle for the story of Chicago by every sense of that.
And Navy Pier, the perfect place. I don't know whether you know whether that was always the choice. I mean, this could have been it doesn't matter where else it might have gone. The point is, you go to Navy Pier, it's a very family-friendly environment, so you're there for the day. In other words, you'll get your tickets for the flyover Chicago, but hey, while you're there, there's the Children's Museum, and there's tons of places to eat, and I recently talked to Chef Art Smith, who's got Reunion, the restaurant downstairs, which, if you haven't been there yet, is fabulous.
It is fabulous.
Yeah. So, the thing is, it's such a great environment. Was that also kind of the first choice for Flyover? Let's talk to Navy Pier, or was there just a let's go to Chicago and we'll have to figure out where?
The process did start with Navy Pier. Just for Chicago, number one, it's incredibly historic and iconic, right? But it's also a central tourism hub. It's centrally located within the city from the north and the south. It really is the best place where we can collect both locals and tourists alike and have them, like you said, kind of build a day at the pier. You can come experience Flyover for the 30, 40 minutes, go get lunch, go see a show, go to the Children's Museum. There's so much that you can do and build a full day here.
And then do Flyover again when the kids or whoever
say
we want to
do it again. Flyover again. That's
right. But be careful. At least it's selling out now. The notion of you saying, let's go right. This is not Disney where you just go, hi, I'm Fast Track. Put me in the front of the line again. It doesn't work that way. In fact, talk about how that works, because people really do want to book ahead.
Absolutely. And I highly recommend that people do do book ahead. We operate on a time ticketed system. We have showtimes every 15 minutes, and we have a capacity of 61 people per show and per ride. So we do have a limited amount of seats available. So I always recommend go to our website, experienceflyover.com/Chicago, pick the exact date and the exact time that you want. Because as you know, Paul, especially as we get into the summer season, the pier gets super, super busy. So it's always easier just to plan in advance to get the exact time that you want.
In fact, let me emphasize that for people who say, I'm not going to worry, I'll just go show up, or I'll just get a ticket, but I'll get there when I feel like getting there, because, you know, there are people who like to be late. So
of course,
I'm not that person. I'm the early person. So I had a time, whatever it was, 2:30 or something like that, 4 o'clock. And I got there early because I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll go do the ride and then I'll go walk around and whatever. Well, I went to the attraction, and they said, what time is your time? And I said, 4 o'clock. And they went, well, you need to come back about 3:45. I was much earlier than that. So it is not a walk-in thing, because they said, no, we're full. And let me tell you something that I overheard. I went back to ask a question, and this guy was talking to one of the staff members, and he went, oh, you know what? We missed our, you know, we're late. But you know, but so what? Cause we're late, but now we'll just do the next one. And the guy said, I actually don't have a spot for you until tonight. So, I mean, what you say about be on time and do it ahead of time, I'm not saying this is I'm saying this is an encouraging sign. Mm-hmm. First of all, I love that you respected the exact time. And don't expect that you're going to get on early or just go right back on if you're late, because you guys are full.
That's right. It's one of those kind of almost good problems to have, where we have been so busy since we've opened. The response from the city and from the locals has been absolutely incredible. The downside of that is that sometimes we are sold out for the remainder of the evening, or sometimes, you know, for the entirety of the day. So we do recommend be proactive. Come to the pier early. Even if you're an hour early, grab some lunch, grab a snack, walk around, just explore a little bit, because sometimes, you're absolutely right, Paul, we are not able to accommodate for the next time slot, but we try everything that we can do to ensure that everyone gets to ride. So if we have space on the next time slot in an hour or so, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that they get to experience that day.
And if not, go get some Garrett's caramel cheese. Have you had the Garrett's caramel cheese corn mix?
Oh my God. I think that they really need to put my face up and say not allowed anymore. I'm eating way too much.
Yeah. Well, everything in Navy Pier is amazing. And the hot nuts place and just everything.
Oh yeah.
But and all this, and again, I'm saying this just to say, like, that's what's so great about going to this attraction. Don't go and leave. You go and hang around, maybe and do somebody, stay for a dinner cruise as summer approaches, mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing. Well, anyway, back to this. One of the things that I think is really cool about this, for people who said, again, we're showing some videos so people can see it, but there's more to this than just the buildings. You absolutely see the buildings. And what I love, I'm a big architecture guy. And so when I do the walking tours or any other kind, the boat tours, there are certain things like Ceres, the god of wheat, who's on the top of whatever building that is.
Board of Trade, yes.
Thank you. The Board of Trade flew out of my mind. And, you know, when you see it from the ground, oh, yeah, there she is, whatever. And yet in the flyover, I don't mean to give things away, but you're right with her. There she is, right next to you.
You're right with her. And I keep saying it's an experience that you truly have to see to believe, in that you've never seen the city like this before, because that's the truth. Have you ever been right up next to that statue and have noticed that there is no face, right? It's things like that that we're able to do and that we're able to show that will give you a whole, a much better, the way that it's been described to us is that it's a love letter to the city and gives you a whole new appreciation for these things that we become so accustomed to and that we take for granted. But now, as we see them in a whole new light, it brings back that that sense of love for the city.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. You don't just walk in to Navy Pier and say, let me get to the flyover, and things start there. I mean, well, they do start there, but they don't start with the attraction, the movie. Talk a bit about what happens when you first get in. You get into what time are you? Okay. You're 4 o'clock, get into line. And then the first thing you do after they kind of check you in, first thing you do is actually get a picture taken, although you're not quite sure what it is, because it looks like you're just standing in front of what is a green screen.
That's right. So we are broken into a couple different segments. So you get your ticket scan. First thing you're going to do is take a photo at the green screen, which you then get to check out your photo once the ride is done, and everyone can walk away with a complimentary digital download of the photo. The background is a surprise. You get to see that at the end. But then from there, you go and start act one of your journey, which is a room that we call the gallery, with these living portraits where you start to get introduced to the different people, the different neighborhoods and the cultures of Chicago, which you're going to continue to experience along your journey in a very subtle way, in a way that's meant for you to walk around the room and explore and look at the different frames, hear the sounds, watch the people. And then from there, you get brought to Act Two, which is where it is more of an immersive 360-degree theater in the round, where we play a 6.5-minute video that really
you're still not on the ride yet. For people who think that you're not on the ride yet.
That's right. You're not on the ride yet. And in this room, this is where you really get into the culture and the fabric and the people of Chicago. That video, every time I see it, gives me goosebumps. We see people walking away, wiping tears from their eyes after that video. It's very beautiful. And then that is what sets you up for your next adventure, which is the ride. And the ride ties together those two acts to tell a seamless story.
I was going to say that because what you don't realize at the time, and again, I don't think we're giving anything away, some of the faces and places that you see in those Act One, Act Two locations show up again. But in that way, you make the connection because you have this moment of going, we just saw that person or we saw that group. And let me talk about the people for a moment, because again, I think a lot of what I expected when I went in was I knew I would see buildings and I knew all of that would be there. And it is. I don't know what, there's part of me that doesn't want to give this away, but let's just do it. The reality of it is that you even get to experience the culture of Chicago. I'll set it up and then you can say what you want to say.
Absolutely.
You actually get to experience the culture of Chicago. We have choruses here and we have chorals and we have amazing spaces like the Chicago Theater, and they're even beautiful inside the theater. So can you say any more? Do you want people to be surprised?
I will say one of our big features in the film is the Soul Children Choir of Chicago with Dr. Walt Whitman. That is an instrumental part in the story, and it talks about the resilience. And you really see that storyline evolve through all three acts. And that's just a little taste. I don't want to give it all away, Paul, like you were saying, but that gives you a taste of what we're trying to do here. It's not just a 1-2 punch ride. It is a true story about Chicago and real people. All of these people are real, true Chicagoans. Nothing is scripted. It is them and their authentic, true selves.
This is a question I wondered about, so I get to ask you, which is, when the drone is in those spaces where there are a lot of people, that sort of thing, and there are people there. And I'm sort of curious, was any of that like, hey, we need actors for a day, come and we'll give you your rate? Or were these people who happen to be there at the moment watching planes and drones flying by them?
So in the city of Chicago, it is illegal to fly drones over people. So Everything that you see, all the people, all the sets, it's all us, completely choreographed and timed and orchestrated beautifully for the drone to fly over them in the different areas. There's some incredible times within the film where you think that it's CGI and that it's all fake, but it's so real, 100% real, just beautifully timed. And that took over 700 people just for the production of this film, just to give you an idea of how large that effort was, with the majority of those people being real Chicagoans, people who are extras, production assistants, directors, etc. The list goes on.
Oh, so I may have missed it. So there wasn't a casting call. There wasn't a thing for all local actors who could show up that day, or did they have that opportunity?
We used the service called 4-Star Casting here in Chicago, who are used for the extras and for different areas of the film.
Because, you could have had the cast of The Bear show up for part of
it. I saw them filming just yesterday.
See? Are you finding, Derek, that you're getting more? I was sort of curious, the tourists versus locals. I mean, right now, I would expect you to say we're getting tons of locals because it's new for all of us. And maybe down the line, it becomes clearly a tourist thing to do. If I had anybody come into town, I'm totally taking them there. Who's coming?
So right now, you're absolutely right. It's a lot more locals than tourists. Tourist season is about to ramp up in Chicago. But since we opened on March 1st, it's been just nonstop locals, seeing it all over the news and hearing a lot of word of mouth and whatnot. We're doing a ton of community outreach and seeing that response of how many locals are coming to the pier to experience this. It's been fantastic. And the reviews of the ride itself and of the film, we've been getting nothing but warm, welcome reviews saying that, like I was saying before, people are finding like a new love for the city almost, and experience the different views that they never thought that they'd be able to see in their lives. That response has been incredible from the locals.
I'm pretty sure it was you who worked with our morning show's crew, Anna Balabal and and those guys, and she was terrified. I think that's a bit of an act. You know, she's a really wonderful person, but it plays well on TV. So Anna, of course, made it look like she was terribly afraid and brought Marcus Leshock with her so Marcus could do the narrative because he loves roller coasters anyway.
Of course,
it was a perfect setup. But I was sort of curious because you actually get more time with them than in most places, because I know everybody's been covering you, so you're going to get your 3 minutes wherever. But on our morning show, the good news is we keep coming back and coming back and coming back all throughout the morning, and I think you know it's the number one morning show around. Mm-hmm. So lots of people watched you. Now they can watch you here. But my question is there a marketing group who says, look, the best way to experience this is to experience this? So what is the tactic in terms of, has it been, it's got to be a media approach because you've got to be able to show people video, I think. Has that been a challenge at all to get people to understand what you're doing to say, you got to come, buy a ticket and try this?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge with any new attraction that's coming into the city, especially with an attraction that people haven't really experienced before. It's hard to market that to say, you just kind of have to see it to believe. It's broken into three acts. It's really easy for us to say on the internal side on what it is, but having people understand what that is, you're absolutely right, Paul, that it can be a big challenge. But luckily here at Flyover in Chicago, we have a great marketing team that also works with our other Flyover friends. Our Flyover is based in Vancouver, and they, of course, have well over a decade of experience just in marketing Flyovers themselves and other locations where it's the same situation of Chicago, where it's a completely new attraction that people haven't seen before. So we're able to learn from the previous locations and build on that with the city.
Yeah. How does this do? You talked about the architecture before, but I'm thinking in Vegas, you've got the hotels, you've got the strip. So I get the areas that of course people have to see as part of that, but a lot of that is desert, whatever. So do we give you more of a landscape to play? And I have not been to Reykjavik, to be honest with you, in Iceland. So I'm not sure whether it was just, you know, icebergs are showing or what, but how do we compare in terms of the variety of landscape that we offered you compared to the other three cities you're in?
So what's interesting about the Las Vegas film is that it's the mention of Las Vegas is so minimal. It's about the American West. Oh. So it goes back in the history, the grand vistas of the Grand Canyon and the American frontier goes back a little bit into the cowboy days. And you do get a little glimpse of Las Vegas. But our films that were originally created for Vancouver, for Iceland, and for Las Vegas, it's all about the nature, the scenery, the iconic environments that you're in. Chicago was the very first urban landscape, as we call it, that we filmed. So that's why, going back to what I said before, that's why we had to use the drones versus the helicopters, because the helicopters going in the Canadian Rockies or the volcanoes of Iceland or the Grand Prairies in the American West, that's easier to do than a helicopter flying between buildings. And that's why we needed the drones. So that's what makes us different. This is fully about the city and the city landscape versus the nature landscape.
That's such an important point. And let me take it one step further. Because if people are coming to see the Chicago thing, then they're waiting for the section on gangsters, and they're waiting to see Al Capone, and they're waiting to see the politicians. And they're right. I mean, the truth is that is what a lot of Chicago's. Of course, mm-hmm. We also get Michael Jordan thrown in there, and we have Oprah. So there's all the positive side to that. But again, that is not what this is about. It is about what you just said. This is not come learn the history of Chicago. Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's not about the history of Chicago. I will say in our Act Two, we have just a little taste of history, but the overwhelming story of it is the city. It's the city today, and it's the people. It mentions where we've come from, but it's more about the realm of possibility and believe. Our Chicago film is actually called Believe Chicago. So it is about the people, the culture, about right now and what Chicago is.
I don't think you'd ever read. I mean, it stands alone. It's timeless. There's nothing in there that you say, well, that'll be old in a few years. But is any of that intentional? What I mean by that is, you know, in a lot of places, it used to be in this city, when you arrived at O'Hara, you arrived anywhere, you had these big signs that had to be remade all the time when you were welcomed by the governor, the mayor, or everybody wanted their face up there and whatever. And they've modified that. So, you know, they don't have to go change these things every time there's somebody new. But was any of that part of this? Like, you know, we don't get welcomed in from when this opened, it would be the current mayor. But, you know, anything like that of let's get the mayor? Or is it like, no, because then who knows, X years from now, we got to have another mayor and let's just avoid all of that.
Yeah, I would say to that point, it's more about the to what I was just saying before, not to sound like a broken record, but it is supposed to be about just the city itself and not one individual person. It's about the culture altogether, the neighborhoods altogether, the architecture altogether. In terms of you know, being you know, timeless, as long as they don't remove the bean, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Or the lions at the Art Institute, and you know,
or the Willis Tower, you know.
Exactly. It's the Sears Tower. So
I know it's the Sears. It depends on who you ask, right? So
exactly.
I try to play the line. That's
it's
right.
Still Marshall Fields, Derek. I don't care what they call
that's
it.
That's right. So.
Which is just amazing. And that's what, again, is so beautiful, because even when you live here and you know all of these scenes, it's just so wild to be able to see it, and see it up close. When you interact with people here who have seen it, what kind of reactions are you getting? I mean, I've seen some little marketing things that are on there, but well, I'm sure you, as the person who, you know, as the general manager, wait for people, talk to them afterwards. Do people say, I've got suggestions, or are they just blown away like I was?
It's usually, I will say, blown away. For sure. The fact that they didn't know it was going to be such an exhilarating ride, but also giving them that completely unique perspective of the city. I think that really gives people, it just makes them think entirely differently about what they thought that they were getting into. And that exceeds their expectations.
This might be a dangerous question. I'm going to ask it. It depends if people are afraid of such things. I thought that when the ride started, and clearly the chair moves, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought that the impression of being up high, whatever, was an impression. And so I was comfortable, because the whole time I thought of it. Well, anyway, another friend of mine went, and he was sitting with somebody who said her shoe fell off or something like that. And she said, Paul, that you're actually 20 some feet above a ground. I went, no, but it's right there. I could step off that thing and I'd be on the floor. He said, no, you would. Who's right?
Well, you know, you're both a little right. So our ride system is huge. Our ride system is comprised of three levels, and the top level is five stories in the air. And the spherical screen that you actually get pushed into is 65 feet tall and wide. So if you are
on everybody's watching that same screen.
That's right. That's right. But if you're on that top level, you are about 40, 50 feet from the bottom of the screen. And then if you're on that bottom level, you're closer. So you're both right. It all depends on where you rode.
Oh, okay. Good point. I know there was one level below, probably a level above me too. I guess I wasn't paying attention. I was just wrapped into what I was doing.
But that's how immersive that screen is that yeah. you think that you're actually flying over the city. You don't know. A lot of people think that they actually left the building. That's just how like truly immersive that screen is.
Now, can somebody, if somebody is afraid of heights, because we have people, all sorts of people watch this. And so some might say, oh, I'm afraid of heights. I'd be afraid. Can somebody request to be on the low level or something so that they can have that comfort?
So it's a yes and no question. It depends on the operation of the attraction at the time. Sometimes we're able to accommodate those requests. Other times we're unable to. However, I will say your perspective on where the ground is does not change depending on which level you're on. So you may be sitting on that level one, but that distance feels the same as the top because the screen wraps beneath you. You can't actually see the ground. So if you're in the point of the film where you're over, over the Hancock building, it's going to feel the same distance from the top level or the bottom level. So it really doesn't matter.
And you're strapped in, so don't worry about it. You're not
exactly.
going anywhere.
You're strapped in, and you're in the same room. You never leave the same room.
Well, and the reason that I thought that there might be that option is because when you come in and get ready to board the ride, they basically say, how many in your party? Well, there's two of us. And so and there's these different dots, as you know, that you go move over there, you stand there, you stand there. So, and I'm assuming that somehow breaks off into who will be on what level, I'm guessing. That's why I asked the question, because I thought if I make that special request, it just means you send me to a certain dot and row.
That is correct. But to what I was saying before, sometimes those rows change depending on the operation. But yeah, exactly. So I don't want to give a definite yes that we can always do it. But we always try our best to accommodate for guests.
And the good news is you don't have to worry about it, because I mean,
and
just,
you don't have to worry about
I just
it.
Wanted to raise, because you know what? We get a little extra time on here. We're not pushed to the 3 minutes you get on TV. So I wanted the opportunity to ask questions that might be in people's minds.
Absolutely.
and just give them the comfort about all of that. And by the way, we haven't talked cost at all. I wish it was a free ride, but this is no cheap ride to keep going. So talk about the cost. I think $25, I think, is what it was.
Yeah, for adults, it's $24.95 plus tax. And then for kids 13 and under, it's $14.95 plus tax.
And is there an age, you know, at Disney, you got to be yay high and all of that. So how does that work for people that have little kids? I know that for some kids, they were adding in like an extra strappy thing.
That's right. So we do have a 40-inch minimum height requirement, which isn't that high at all. We've seen 4 and 5 year olds go on the ride, no problem. For that little strappy thing that you're talking about, when you're actually sitting in your seats, if you are a little one and your head, or sometimes even adults where your head doesn't hit a minimum height marker on the seats, there's just an extra strap that you put your seatbelt through that sits between your legs. Just adds another layer of safety to the attraction.
Was I not using the technical term, strappy thing?
Strappy thing is always good. Yeah, okay. I think that's Latin, actually, Paul.
Well, I'm a lawyer, so why not? Yeah, Latin comes with the territory. And the other thing I want to compliment you on, because, you know, here's what I know about services and business. When something goes wrong, you hear about it. Everybody loves to complain. Everybody loves but when things go well, they've got nothing to say. They're just on, they go. And it's probably because we just expect things to go well. But I'm going to give you a compliment because I think the staff, certainly on the day I was there, everybody I interacted with, you know, at Disney, they're called cast members, as I'm sure you know. And even at the Sheraton Hotel, which is in Chicago, they play off of that and everything. Mm-hmm. They're cast members who work there. I think to basically remind staff that you're not only working here, you're performing here. And the staff that I interacted with clearly were of that quality. I'm sort of curious, in the training that you give them, is there that Disney sense of, you know, you're not just working here to tear a ticket, you know, but you're performing too. You're part of this experience.
Well, I mean, number one, Paul, thank you so much for that compliment. I'll make sure to pass that on to the team. Please. Because we spent a lot of time,
except for this one guy. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time curating the team that we wanted. We went through thousands and thousands of resumes, did multiple group interviews over weeks, and ultimately gave them all almost a month of training. And a lot of us in the leadership team here do have a Disney in our background, including myself. So we certainly prescribe to some of those guest initiatives. We don't call them cast members here. There are our team members. However, when we are on stage, we're on stage, and when we're backstage, we're backstage. We do use some of those terms because it does work really well. And to your point, when you're on stage, you have to be on stage. But we spent a lot of time curating a team that would not only represent the city of Chicago and Flyover in a good light, but people who are really proud of the product that we have here ultimately, and don't have a problem communicating what that product is and talking about it in an enthusiastic way, where when you are on stage, it comes natural and you don't have to force or fake being on stage.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the staff really was great. And I got to say, this clearly is the new must do and must see attraction in Chicago. I mean, for me, I can't wait to take everybody who visits the city there. It's a great way to introduce the city before you even go see anything. And for folks who live here, everybody's got to do this at least once. And I want to go back. I mean, cause it was just that good. Now that I experienced it once, I want to go back and experience it again to see what I missed the first time. Cause it's not just about the buildings, the people and everything that goes with it. Derek Poitras, you are the general manager. Well, I'm glad they shipped you here from Jersey, or I'm glad you decided to move from Jersey.
That's right.
Everybody can get tickets at experienceflyover.com/Chicago, because you don't want to end up in Reykjavik. So experienceflyover.com/Chicago. Thank you for your time. Congratulations on bringing Chicago a wonderful attraction.
Thanks, Paul. We'll see you next time you come out.
You got it.